You know, it's all from perception, isn't it? How you look at something or someone, or maybe think, gee, that guy's out of there. I wonder how many people think that I'm, you know, have talked to me and thought, boy, he's a little strange, the stuff he comes up with. He's kind of nuts. Or I don't know what the heck he's talking about. I'm sure I've lost a lot of people when you start getting into detail about things that you've heard about for years or experiences you've had, and others look at you and they'll kind of nod their head, but they're probably thinking you're a little nutty. So today, we've done this thing where I hosted this event for the radio station the last couple of Tuesdays called 906 Got Talent. It's 906 refers to our area code, and which is all of Upper Michigan, 906. And so the show is it's about anybody that wants to come up and perform. You know, they have to sign up the first 10 people each week. They go up on stage, and generally it's singers, people that might play an instrument while they're singing. Sometimes we had actually two comedians this last time, and we had a dancer. So this was our last, in our second week of doing this. The week before, last week, the first week, there was a guy who came up, and he had been around the block. You could tell he's probably close to my age, I would guess, and he's been in many bands, and he performed, but he didn't make it in the top three. But still, you know, he did a good job, I thought. So out of the blue, or maybe not, maybe it's never out of the blue, he shows up at the radio station this morning. I was a little surprised. I thought, well, maybe he's supposed to be here for something. And he said, no, I'm just coming to apply for maybe a part-time studio engineer position, which is basically somebody that just pushes buttons, you know. If you're doing it, like for a ball game, if we have a ball game on and they take a commercial break, then you have to pop in the, you know, play the commercials, and then when it's done, you bring the other person back on the air. Real easy stuff. So people sometimes become what we call board operators, board ops, or studio engineers, same thing. So that's what he came in to apply for, but it was 8:30, and I said, well, nobody's here till about 9 o'clock. Why don't you come to the studio, and we'll talk a bit and hang out, you know? And so he started to tell me all these different things. Now, some of which I've heard, and some of which I have not. And he started telling me some difficulties that he was running into with other people. You know, there's two sides to every story, and I suggest you always find both sides out before you really make a decision, if you can. You know, you try to hear both sides, or at least look at an objective. But he was telling me something about how he felt a lot of what goes on in this country is connected and traced back to the monarchy of London. And he was saying something to the effect of, they still tell us what to do, he said, and they still control us, and we really don't own our land. We kind of rent it. And I'm looking at, you know, some of the things he said, and I'm realizing that more and more it seems like they have the ability to take it away from you. I know they had an eminent domain thing that they pushed through not that long ago, where businesses can basically absorb you and kick you off your land in order to make themselves grow. And I thought, when that bill was passed, I realized they want businesses to grow, but you can't do it at the expense of people that live there. You cannot, nor should you. So I thought, well, maybe he's got some truth here. He was talking about some issues he was having with land, and he found out that everything kind of ties back to Britain and to the monarchy and to how they're controlling us. Now, somebody listening to this, if you're listening as an outside conversation, is going, this guy's a little wacky. And that's how many people have thought that of me. You know, I've always thought, not always, but I felt that there could be some truth that maybe the monarchy, you know, they said it's just a figurehead, but is it really? And we have a close connection to Britain, and I like the Brits, but the people. But is there something more going on? And I think there could be. Some people think, I've heard more than one person say that we still are kind of being controlled by powerful people, maybe not necessarily government people, that are connected to to Britain and some of the things that go on the planet are orchestrated through Britain. So is there some truth to that? Maybe. Maybe there's some truth to that. I don't know. He didn't seem to offer a lot of evidence, but he seemed to tell me that he felt he was getting the short end of the stick on some land that he owned, some other land that was left to him. And he said, there's a lot of corrupt people, which I agree. There probably is a lot of corrupt people. The thing is, if you believe that, you're going to get more of it. So I don't try to focus on that too much, but I'm not going to ignore it if somebody brings it to my attention. So some of the things he was telling me, I've kind of heard before, and other things kind of blew me away. And I think it made me realize that's how I must sound to people when I start going off on some of these crazy different things. Are they crazy? Well, I mean, they don't seem crazy to me, but I'm sure to other people who have never been exposed to it before, it seems a little bizarre. And I can understand now. So I don't mind if you think I'm a little bizarre. You know, I try to keep an open mind. My mom was that way. She was always looking at both sides of an issue and always trying to look at the other side to see, you know, everybody wants to jump on one side and maybe they ignore what the other side has to say. And she always kind of pointed out to me that you got to look at both sides. And I think that's one of the greatest gifts she gave me, because now I don't just take the media's word for it or Fox News or CNN, which are two totally diverse ones. You know, I'm kind of in the middle because I want to hear both sides and I want to make my own conclusion, and I don't want these news sources manipulating how I want to take something in or feel about something or think about something. It's funny because some people are totally against, it's like one side or the other, and there's no in between. And I think we're never going to move forward. We're never going to move forward until we find the in between. Compromise is the great thing we can all do. We can find, like a good example being the healthcare bill. Currently, I don't care for it. The Obamacare, as they call it, it didn't help me at all. It made things get more expensive. I had to increase my deductible, and I didn't think I was going to be able to afford it. Had my wife not had a decent job, we probably wouldn't have, that had good health insurance, you know. So something's got to give, you know, with that. We need to compromise and find a solution. Well, it's not just healthcare neither, because they kind of trick us. They say, well, we can't afford healthcare, or we need to. It's not healthcare, is it? It's drugs in your system care. They aren't generally giving you health. They're giving you drugs to try to help you so your body can heal. And then you get addicted to these drugs, and it just leads to more and more issues. Not all the time. Sometimes I think people are helped with some of the drugs, and maybe people don't think they have another option. I think there's always an option. There's a lot of, you've heard me do many shows about natural options out there. Are they as quick as some of the drug options? Probably not. You have to be a little patient. Well, people say, I've heard, and I've had people tell me this, well, when you're sick like that, you don't want to take any chances. The thing is, you're not really taking any chances. I don't believe. Because if it's truly healthy for you naturally, it's not going to affect anything else. If anything, it's going to make you feel better. And if you're taking medications, it's not going to affect the medications. So it's just going to help your body heal quicker. That's the way I look at it. I can't guarantee it. I can't promise it. I don't want to, because if I do, I'm going to be on a list, you know. But I truly believe that there are many options we can take. So getting off of that and getting to the fact, this is really about compromising and finding maybe that there are some greater things in the works. I go to this website called the Golden Age of Gaia. You've heard me talk about it. And they keep talking about this Nesera. Is that how it's pronounced? I'm not sure. Nesera Republic that's coming forward. And there are different beings that speak on this website that are channeled. they often channel the Galactic Federation, which we, I think, I don't know if it was the Council of Federation, but we did channel them once with one of my friends on my program. Is it possible we can talk to beings that are living on another planet or are visiting us? Why not? Everybody's got spirit, you know. Not all of them are in physical body. Even if they are, at some point they could consciously still speak to us. So there are some people that channel, I think it's the Arcturians. Arcturians? Yeah. And they talk about what's called the Nezera. And what is that? And I was curious about that. That's why I thought I'd bring this up. Are we going to witness great change in our lifetime? Is it going to be soon? If I'm to believe what I read a lot on the Golden Age of Gaia, we are going to see great changes, and they're going to be soon. They're talking about taking the wealth of the world from those who corruptly earned it, and distributing it evenly. Now, that sounds a little bit like socialism to me, or communism, or some ism, but I don't think that's their intent. They believe that they're going to round up this wealth and they're going to redistribute it so everybody can live better and things are going to change. And they call, it says, all of this progress that they're trying to make is tempered by an old energy that deeply wants to represent the present realm to be kept alive by USA Inc. They call the United States as one of the big offenders of that. The longer this old energy remains, the longer the realities to be forged by the rise of the Nesera Republic in some way be further delayed. Therefore, sincerely, we endorse the rise of the new realm. Okay, so what is the new realm all about? And if there's, is there any truth to it? The new realm states that debts will be erased. People will no longer live in poverty. Everybody will get a slice of the pie. And that seems like a very wonderful thing, doesn't it? If we all, I think there could come a day when that will happen. Is it going to happen? They keep promising on this website, oh, it's almost here. It's almost here. It's almost here. I've been reading this for over a year now, and they keep saying that. And I'm beginning to believe it's not here. And I'm beginning to believe that it may not happen in our lifetime. I hope it does. I don't want to throw anything into, you know, I believe that good things truly will come forward. And we will live in a day when we will not have to depend on going to work or depend on energy to run our appliances or to heat our homes. We will have moved past all of that. And you're saying, how can that be? I mean, there's only so much energy. There's only, well, maybe we'll invent new ways. And I say, no, we'll remember the old ways. And what are the old ways? What are the old ways? The old ways, the original ways of all of us, is that we can do it on our thoughts and our feelings. We can create all of that. And that's what I truly believe we are in our highest form, that we could feed others, we could heat our homes with our thoughts. You know, we're getting closer and closer, I believe, to that. There's been movies that have kind of talked about that. You know, and some people would say, well, that's crazy. How can that even be possible? And I had a friend of mine who's going to do a show with me. Andy was in the other day. And I was telling him the story about this six-year-old kid who his friend got, maybe seven, I don't know how old the kid was. I've heard the story from more than one person. He'd heard the same story too. So it must have happened in this town years ago. Think back in the 50s. Some kid got pinned underneath the car because he was playing in the street. The car ran him over. Didn't hurt him too bad. The kid was pinned underneath there. And one kid ran over and lifted the vehicle up and said, get him out, and told the other kids to pull this kid out. Now, I don't care how strong you are at that age or any age, you can't do that unless you tap into something greater. And then there was a story of a man I'd never met the guy, but I talked to a woman who knew this man. She was driving with her daughter. They were on an icy road out towards where I live. And they hit an ice patch, and they rolled over, and they were on their back, upside down, hanging in their seatbelts. She called this guy. I don't know what she expected him to do. He showed up, and he rolled the vehicle back over. Now, this is an SUV. It's on icy roads, so you can't get your footing. And he rolled it back over. And furthermore, if you roll it over, isn't it just going to be sit on its side if it's an SUV? Maybe. It might have enough momentum to flip back over on its tires. I don't know. But I don't know how you'd get enough to rock it. I mean, maybe it's possible. Maybe that's easier than somebody lifting up a vehicle, a heavy car. You know, back in the 50s and 60s, those cars were made of steel, not all the plastic and aluminum. They were heavy. You ever try to lift one? Me, well, I haven't really tried. Well, I've tried to kind of move them a little bit. They were heavier, they were solid, and there's probably no way that a young boy, no way, could do it unless he tapped into something greater. And we hear stories of this time and time again, and we don't believe it. People that have gone to shamans. I interviewed a man on my show, it's a couple of years ago, I think it was about it was something about he would get groups of people together and they would come up with answers. He felt within a crowd, somebody would tap into something to find an answer to whatever question, health question they were asking. He tried to do that to help his sister who had some kind of incurable disease. That's what made him develop that. Before he developed that company, he went on a journey. He told me, I spent a year traveling all over the world, TJ. He said, you're not going to believe, and I think he didn't tell me this during the interview. He said, you're not going to believe what I witnessed. I witnessed people with broken legs that were hanging down. The leg was snapped. And according to what he told me, he said, I watched them carry this person in because they couldn't even walk. And I watched later when they walked out and their body was completely healed. And he said, you know, the people in these communities, they don't have any money. They can't go to a doctor. But yet they go to a shaman and they can be healed. And I would got to believe that, you know, like I've said before, we have this ancient teaching that showed us how we could heal ourselves using tapping into energies. And that's what shamans do, really. Some of them probably smoke some peyote or whatever it is so they can be in a higher state. But I'm saying that we all, and you know, I've worked with energy healers on my show, on the podcast. So is there anything we can't do? Is what I'm saying. So this golden age of Gaia suggests that we are going to come into a time, and I hope it is, I really truly do, when governments will fall and truth will come forward. And they're saying it's going to happen soon. And they've been saying this for a while since I've been reading it. And they say, well, it's been delayed and this has happened. And, you know, the ones that, what they call the cabal, the dark energies, they're rebelling and they don't want to get in, give up. Now they're suggesting that they're going to be arrested. There's going to be mass arrests. They're going to be held accountable. And honestly speaking, I don't see that happening because we still have a lot of corrupt, you know, even some of the people that are doing the arresting are probably not on the up and up. Let's face it. I love people. I love beings. But I also see things, I think, pretty clear because I have the ability to do so. Something I've developed. And I think the older you get, you can become very aware of how people are. Most people are human. Most people, well, I hope so. Well, some are not. Some are from another place. But most people have things that they've done or still do that are not total integrity. So most people I know. And that's not, I don't want to see it in a jaded way because I still believe most people are good and would help someone else. if they needed to. They would step in. You know, we had a story about that recently. Wasn't there in the news? The news sometimes is good for something. There was a story about these people down in Florida, I think. Was it Florida? And the tide came in, or it pulled a bunch of people out, and they were going further out to sea, and they would have drowned. And people formed a human chain. You remember that, hearing that story? And I thought, it takes these kind of things sometimes to wake people up. It's cool. You know, I think all of us, the majority of us, truly would step in and help somebody. What I see where I live in this area, still in a small community, people are like that every day. So that's nothing unusual to most of us that live here. People help each other. They're nice to each other. They're sincere. There's more of a love and family connection for people you don't even know, because we're all part of a smaller community. So most everybody knows somebody, you know. We're connected to each other. Maybe in the cities, you know, I go to the city, not very often, but I notice when I try to smile or to be friendly with somebody, they're a little leery. And people have even told me, there was a man that came in here, he was with the Postal Service, and he told me the same thing. When he moved up here, people are friendly, and you always were kind of on guard until he realized this is the way people are. And he says, this is why I love it up here. This is why I wanted to move here, because people are more friendly, they're more welcoming, helpful, caring. And I'm not saying that's the case all the time in every city. There, you know, good lies in all of us, if you want to label it good. And we just have to tap back into it. What I notice when I go to a city is there's a vibration. I can sense it and I can feel it. And so it's just not the same as being out in nature. And I'm not trying to judge it, but I have to be honest. It's not a feeling that gives me a warm and fuzzy. When I get out in nature or even in smaller communities, some of you might say, well, you're just used to that. No, no, no. I feel, especially when I get away from all the cell towers and all these other things, and I get out in the deep woods, it truly, I feel so good. And I really believe those devices were designed to keep us from remembering or connecting with what we truly are. If you have, let's say we are beings of energy and frequency, and if you want to control those people, would you create something that affects that? And what would you create? Would you create a device that everybody's going to have, and they're going to carry it with them, and they're always going to be looking at it? And I'm guilty of this too, so it's not like I, you know, but at times, I don't have it with me all the time. But so these little phones, what do they do? Actually, I had a guest lined up that was going to come on and talk about that, how they affect our health. You know, there's been rumors for a long time that they can cause tumors and people going sterile and who knows what else, you know. Is there any truth? And I look at it this way. Anytime you have electronic signals going through your body, especially close up to it, it's going to affect you in some way. And now we are being bombarded more than ever by these electronic signals from how many different things? How many different things? Ultimately, if you're in a good place, if you're in a good state of mind, if you're in a joyful state, you have a much better chance to not be affected by these things. But not everybody is. And do they make us, do they affect our moods? I think they do. So maybe if you're not too happy, get away from the TV. Put down the phone. Just see what happens. I know. It's hard to, it's like, I was talking about this on the radio, how people seem addicted to social media. And if they can't get on there every day to interact with somebody, they feel like they're going to explode. And again, is it really, how did we manage before we had these things? How did we manage? So they want you to be addicted, don't they? keep saying they. Who's they? I'm not going into that. I'm not going to do a conspiracy program. But I believe there are those that are powerful, those that have controlled things for a long time. And those beings, human beings, physical beings, are controlled and manipulated by others that are not of the light. That's the best way I define them. And those that are not of the light have been here for a long time, working with many different groups of humans to keep us enslaved. I believe those that are not of the light invented religion so they could control us. There's truth in the religion. There's a lot of truth, so don't be offended. Well, you might be by what I'm saying. Sorry. But some of the things they put in religion were meant to control you. You know, Andy was in the other day. He said, if people just did one thing, do unto others. If you just did that one thing, and I agree with you 100%. If we just did that, the world would be a lot better place. Do unto others. Agreed. So we could take, like, I believe there are truths. There are great truths in the Bible and other teachings. But there's also a lot either that just doesn't make sense to me or I think it's made up to manipulate people or maybe just misinterpreted because they've translated how many times. You know, I've talked before about in the Old Testament where God comes down and he's looking for Adam and he can't find him. And he says, why do you hide from me? And my understanding of God, which doesn't mean it's any more right than anybody else's, but the being that the love that I experienced from my parents, which I think was from the highest place, from God, from Source, this being is everywhere at all times, omnipresent. So for something to make that statement is not God, in my opinion. And if it's not God, then who is it? That's a good question. Were there beings in our past that maybe represented themselves as God? Is that even possible? And I believe certainly. And why would they do that? Because they feed off. They create circumstances more than anything. You know, I was talking earlier about how some powerful people are controlled by darker energy. Well, they create these circumstances so they can feed off of them more than anything. When you emit negative energy, which is not of God, I don't believe, you're feeding the duality that exists here, the beings that have created all of this. And some of you say, well, why don't we put a stop to it? Well, many believe they're doing that right now. We're trying to make changes, the light bringers that they call them. But also, I look at it from this perspective, from all perspectives, and I say that we wanted this. There are many of us that wanted to experience this. So this was needed. So these beings, as dark as they are, we wanted to experience it, and we allowed it to happen. So we are the ones ultimately that have to change it. And when enough of us say we want to change, that's when, and we're seeing that now. And that was foretold, that after 26,000 years, the cycle would go through, and we would start to see the change. Around 2012 would be the beginning. Now, how long is the change going to last? That's getting back to this article or these articles that I read on Golden Age of Gaia. And I'm going to try to get somebody on the show from, you know, on my show from that website. I know there's several authors that either channel or they write articles. And some of them I recognize, some fairly well-known people in certain circles. So, yeah, I'd like to see what they have to say. But what they really do, even if they're not, if it's not right, I think it's good to have hope. So they talk about, they have the masters, the ascended masters usually come on and make some comments. And they also have what's called the Galactic Federation, the spiritual hierarchy. And they come on, I don't know, once a week maybe. And they talk about what's going on and the plans that are moving forward. And the plan right now is that they want to, you know, everything I know about the light is never going to force its and have its own way, ever. it's only going to gently nudge, you know, let's say whatever's happening now in the world. And a lot of you used to see it as dark, but I see it as a lot of good things are coming forward. It's hard to see those things sometimes, but they are. And the light will never force its way in. The dark will, but the light will never say, well, we're just going to change it all because it's for everybody's good. That's never going to happen, as far as I know. And it never has. I've never seen it happen when I deal with light and when we work with it. It's always gently saying, okay, well, you could do this. And, you know, but on this website, they do talk about what the goal is. And the goal is to create a world. You know, they talk about that we are the earth itself. And I've mentioned this many times before. The earth itself is going to a higher vibration. The earth has made a choice because it's a living being, just like everything that's created. It's got a vibration. Does it not have an essence? Why not? So the earth has made a choice to go, and it no longer wants to be a place of destruction. And this was probably planned out, you know, 26,000 year cycle. It said, okay, I'm ready now. I've been around for 4 million or whatever many million years, 6 million. I'm ready to start becoming this. And maybe that's part of the evolution of a planet, to move to another higher vibrational thing. And so the earth has decided that it wants to do that, and we are welcome to go with it. And so we're being given the opportunity to raise our vibration as well. And many beings are working to help us do that, to slide into the fifth dimension. And there are those that are saying that we won't have to ever get sick or ever die or need anything, because in the fifth dimension, we're lighter beings. We still have physical bodies, but these are carbon-based, and those are crystalline, I think is what they call it. So the crystalline-based bodies will not get old, not get sick, because it's really an illusion, isn't it, when you think about it? All the stuff that, if this is not our real home, and we're spirit, we're energy, then this is an illusion. So really, could we maybe make this illusion any way we want, if enough of us believe that? And could we change things, which I think many are doing right now? So what we're in the process of doing, according to this website, and many others are saying this, is that we are moving towards higher vibration and eventually ascension. And ascension, what does that mean? And I've always, you know, I look at what Ramtha says about the subject and the Masters of the Far East, two books that I read and audio that I listened to. And to me, ascension is not just ascending to another level, but it's also taking our bodies with us so we can enjoy those bodies in the next place. And very few people have learned how to ascend from here. I think Jesus ascended. I think he took his body, and then he will show back up again. Now, is it, some people say, well, no, it's a spirit form of Jesus. Maybe it is. But I truly believe he proved that his body went on. His body was missing after he was taken to the cave. So did he resurrect it? Absolutely. I believe he did. And he was proving to the rest of us that we could all do that. That's what I think his message was to each of us. Again, some of you will not want to hear this, and I totally respect you, and you can speak freely on your own or even send me comments, but this is what I believe. So this is why when I go to places like the Golden Age of Gaia, I keep a very open mind, because they have many different subjects they talk about. The spiritual hierarchy and galactic federation, it says via Sheldon Neidl. But that's just one of many articles. And then they have many different archive. And the very positive, upbeat articles that, you know, if it's not true, at least it gives me great hope that something is coming, that maybe fairly soon, that all of us will see. I tend to believe that we are not going to see this as quickly. I believe there will come a day when we will master everything, when we will no longer have hunger or need for electricity, or if we choose to eat, which we won't have to, we can create food with a thought, which is what Jesus did and others supposedly have done. So, yes, I believe someday we will become walking masters on this planet. Will it be within the next year? I don't know. I hope so. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be great to be able to have no desire to worry about getting a job, to pay for something so you can get something, or to... Now, some people would say, well, then I'd get lazy, or I'd have no purpose. And I look at that and I think, okay, so if you get bored here and you have no limitations, could you go somewhere else? Could you go somewhere else? Yeah. So just we lose sight of the simple things, just being able to be in a physical body, to breathe it in. Instead, we think we're missing something. Well, if I don't work for a living, or if I, you know, don't have this in my driveway, or whatever. And the simplest, I think anybody that's been really sick or maybe been down a rough road, they will appreciate things, the small things, just being able to breathe, just being able to see out of your eyes, being able to feel what it's like to be human, feel what it's like to be warm or even a little chilled. There are many things that we can focus on. It doesn't have to be my job is everything. Yeah, a lot of people think their job is everything because that's what defines them. And you are not your job. So many people I know, they see themselves as, I was so-and-so at such-and-such place in work, and I was pretty important. That's nice, but it doesn't matter. I don't think it doesn't matter at all because... You know, at the end of your life, when you get to the next place, well, I happen to be this. It's like, well, I don't think the angels and the guides are going to be, they're going to be very loving towards you, but they're not going to be saluting you when you walk up to, I was a general down on the planet, and you need to, it's like, no. Well, I made millions of dollars, I ripped people off, and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, guess what? Maybe some karma. A little bit of karma there, because you lied to people to get ahead. And there's a lot of that goes on, isn't there? There's a lot of people that are willing to do whatever it takes in order to succeed. And I think any time you have to mislead people or lie to people, you're not truly serving the truth. And I realize in business... You know, in business, you're trying to sell stuff. But there's going to come a day. Mark my words. I may not be here, by the way. There's going to come a day when we will no longer do that. We won't mislead each other. We won't lie to each other. Think about it on a regular basis. The businesses you go visit, they set a price because they know they can get it. So... For example, here's a good example. And I talked about this with somebody I work with. The wedding industry is a good example. There are people that set these incredibly high prices. And you know what? Some people say, well, more power to them if you can make it the money. And I say, yeah, as long as you're being transparent. But if you're misleading people, I don't agree with that. So we have a DJ business and a little bit. It does a little bit. But I'm always straight up with people and tell them exactly what they get for what they pay. And I think that's the way to do things. And sometimes if people say, well, I can't afford that, then I'm willing to work with them. Compromise, you know, which is what I think we all should do. So, but I mean, that's up to you, how you want to move forward. But I think there will come a day when we really won't need money. You know, it's not going to be necessary. That's going to happen. Now, this, according to this Nesera, it's going to happen sooner as opposed to later. And maybe it will. There's another source that I like to listen to, and I really enjoy what he has to say, or what he, because sometimes it's through channeling that he'll speak, or sometimes it's just text about what he said about things. And that's the Archangel Metatron. And he talks about that it's going to be a long time before we truly switch over and become aware. Now, I don't want to throw that out as being the truth, because then if we believe that, it becomes reality. So I'm going to say it's going to happen soon, but I'm probably thinking, well, wouldn't it be great, though, if it happened this year? Wouldn't it be great? Imagine. So some of you, would your lives would change so much. Would you be happy? And you think, well, I don't know if I could handle that. I've thought about that too. But I realize when love becomes the predominant feeling on this planet, which it will, because the only reason it's not is because we're disconnected. And there are those that want us to be disconnected. So we're not feeling the love of Source. So when that becomes the predominant feeling, we will tap into that. And we won't need these other things, these other addictions in our life, because that's what we've done. We're trying to find this love, and we use addictions to fill it in, or we use relationships. I truly believe this is why people get together. And that's great if you're together with somebody and you're happy, but it's really to remember that love more than anything, isn't it? The love we came from. So we search for this our whole life. Either the love we came from, God, Source, or the love of a twin flame, which is basically our other half, twin soul, which a lot of people supposedly are, I shouldn't say hooking up, because I don't mean hooking up. A lot of people are coming together with their twin flame, but it's not necessarily a physical relationship. Maybe for some it is, but it's also they realize that there's something more going on. We're here at a time where there's great changes, and we're right at the very beginning of the great changes. How far along before we see, I don't know. Let me see if I can pull out another article that talks about, here's another one, a transcript from July 17th. It says, an hour with the Arcturians. Now, these are beings that are supposedly from another planet, and Steve Beckow is the host, and I believe it's of a podcast, and this woman named Sue, they channel. So Sue Lai will allow the Arcturians to speak through her, if you believe that channeling is true, that we can allow other beings. I believe it is. So he's asking her questions about, he's talking to her a little bit as far as the text, and then they talk about how to make relationships work in this episode. And the Arcturians, they talk to them about that, looks like the conversation is mainly about relationships. And, you know, I think when I look at relationships, ultimately, what do they do? What's the purpose of being in a relationship? To find love. Our soulmate or our twin flame. And I think, well, yes, but to help us become more balanced, I'd say. Because really, it's an individual journey for everybody. So the relationship you're in now could be different than one down the road. So it's just bringing us back to what we are, love, I think, beings of love. And that's what everything, you know, maybe you had an agreement, you know, coming this time around, what you wanted to accomplish, and you had that agreement with someone else. So this is why we're sharing that with someone else. And for some of you that you don't like that opinion, because you think, well, this is the being I've been with for all eternity, and if I do believe in reincarnation, I've always been with this being. Okay, well, that's fine. Then believe that. I believe that we probably have several. How would you learn? You know, if you're with the same, I mean, granted, we play different roles every time we come here, but how would you learn if you were with the same beings that you always have been with? I think we do spend a lot of our time with soul family when we come back again. It's generally, but sometimes maybe not, you know, and we draw people into our life. That's not part of the plan. We have the ability, you know. Andy was in the other day, and we were talking about, because he's not sure what he believes in. And I said, we make a plan before we come here. I truly believe that. And then while we're here, we have the ability to change that plan. And we do that at night when we're sleeping, and we'd leave our body. But also on top of that, we alter things with our thoughts and emotions. So if we get caught up in something with negative energy, we're going to draw things in. Or if we get caught up in maybe we become more enlightened than we thought we were going to be before we came here. Let's say, okay, I'm on a certain level, and I'm going to try to become more enlightened. And maybe, boom, you wake up a lot more than you thought, and then you draw in. So we have the ability to create and change things. There's many different options. It's not all set just because you have a life that you came into. Some of you probably feel that you were destined to be light workers, or that you have this important journey. And even that, I believe we can change that. You don't have to. If you go, you know what, I changed my mind, I really don't want to do this, not that interested. You have the right to do anything, really, to alter that and say, I don't want to do this anymore. There's a friend of mine who I work with who was born with this ability to sense and see things, especially major things, before they happen. And he said it freaked him out, and he hated it, and he wanted it gone. And he asked God to take it away, and God did, or somebody did. And he no longer picks up and senses things before they happen, because he just couldn't deal with that if it was something that was a little bit scary. So, you know, I think people that are born with that ability, and I know quite a few, I think you chose that, you know? You chose that because you thought maybe you could help others, or maybe it would help you grow more. And then when you get here, you forget how real this all is. Because when we're not here, it just seems like, well, that's just down there. It's not a big deal. And then we get trapped in these bodies, and we don't remember everything by choice. And then when we have these gifts, we go, I wouldn't call them gifts, just what we already are, you know. But we have these abilities, and I don't want to deal with this. Well, you kind of wanted to, but that's okay. You're allowed to change. Nobody's going to say, oh, no, no, you chose this. I also notice a lot of people that are light workers, some of them have a very rough road. And I think that's to teach them greater compassion. So they've been dealt, whether it's illness or whether it's some kind of torment in their life, they've been dealt that at a very deep level. And I think it was there to get them to be very compassionate so they could understand that. I know a few people that have gone through very abusive, if you want to label it abusive, upbringings, and didn't have things as good as they, you know, I had a great, as far as I'm concerned, I think I had a pretty good childhood. Yeah, my dad at times would make things very uncomfortable, but I had a wonderful mother, and I think my brother and sister are great beings, and so I have no regrets, none whatsoever, about the way I was raised. When I think of other people I've talked to that have had it a lot more difficulties than I've experienced, and my whole life has kind of been like that, is that I haven't had extreme pain or, and I'm just thinking, did I choose to take a softer life, or did I choose because I realize I don't need those other things to have compassion? And maybe it would give me more compassion in some ways, but I don't need those things, and I don't want, that's not the purpose I'm here. I'm not here for that purpose. I believe I'm here for the purpose to gather stories and to share them with people. And that's what I do. Matter of fact, speaking of that, one more thing before I close off. And coming up in the near future, I have some people that are going to come on with me. Hopefully, we'll be doing some shows, getting back to doing some shows. But I thought it'd be interesting to talk about this golden age of Gaia. And maybe, you know, in the near future, we'll have somebody on from there talking about, because they say so many positive things. Boy, if you want to be lifted up, you know, you look out the window and you hear the politics and you, it's easy to fall into that trap where you think that this is not getting better. It's only getting worse. And I'm not talking just about, you know, the man we elected, because I think it's all sides of the coin are not contributing to what's best for us. So I'm not one of those people that takes one side over the other. My mom showed me not to do that, to hear what both sides, and then find the good in both of them, and then also see the truth as well in both of them. So that's kind of where I stand. But if Golden Age of Gaia has truth in it, which I think there's a lot of truth in it, but a truth as far as things changing, that's awesome. That would be, this is what we came for. And, you know, Metatron says it could take 300 years. Well, maybe Metatron's, I don't know. I guess we'll find out who's legit and who's not. The thing I like about Golden Age of Gaia is that they have several, seems like they're not afraid to promote several different authors, not just authors, but psychics, channelers that are talking to all different types of beings. And so they're not afraid to take that chance. Often I find some people that are channelers or psychics, they have their limited and they don't want anybody to challenge what they're saying because they're worried about, you know, maybe they're worried about not being accurate or that people won't believe them. And I think if you don't put yourself out there where you could be wrong or others could say, I don't agree with that, then how are you doing any service? You're basically being the same as what we have now with our belief system, with our media, with our politics. You have to be not afraid to be challenged. I don't, you know, what's the worst that can happen? People can not believe in you. So you let go of it. And besides, they shouldn't believe in you. They should maybe believe in the message. And I see a little bit of that going on too. Too many people that they have a great message and then they get a little attention and then they become a celebrity and then it's like, oh, okay. And what happens when you become a celebrity, you start to let your ego in, and so ego always edges God out, or it doesn't allow us to, you know, I don't think you can serve unless you're humble. And we all have to battle with ego. Ego is very tricky. Oh, I got a little bit of acceptance. Woohoo, look at me. I'm the ego. I love the attention. I want control. Yeah. That's the ego, which I love because it's all part of me. It all is part of, you know, in our highest, truest state, I don't think that exists. I really don't think that we have any of that. So what I was going to say before, as I wrap this up, is that if you want to check that out, Golden Age of Gaia, I've talked about it more than once. I think it's pretty cool. And you can check out the Nesara, N-E-S-A-R-A, and see what you think of that. Is that too good to be true? I hope not. I hope it truly is. I believe it is being set in motion. Whether or not we're going to see it anytime soon, maybe. Maybe we will. I surely hope so. Will there be, will they allow us to know about the connection with beings from another planet? Disclosure. Maybe. Maybe that's going to happen soon. I see James Gilliland is part of this. He's on this website. There's many different names on there. So he's the one that's out on the West Coast that talks about connecting with the Syrians and Pleiadians. You know. And if you've never heard this before, you go, what the heck is he talking about? Hey, there's so much stuff here. I don't know completely what I buy into or what I don't. But, you know, the more I look at stuff, the more I listen to it, then it's like, okay, I could see there's some truth in my perception at this point where I'm at, that this can make some sense to me. If it makes sense to me, then it's like, okay, I'm willing to And I'm open. That's the thing. Maybe people aren't as open as you know, I'm sure there are more people even more open than me. But I know a lot of people that aren't even close to being that open. The minute you go down a certain road, boom, that's not it. I'm shutting it off. And it's like, I don't want to be that way, because I don't think you can learn. If you truly want to step forward, you can't ever close off, and you have to keep searching. You have to keep seeking, or you will not, you know, the minute we start thinking we have all the answers, what happens? And I believe you can never have the answers, because they're always changing. What was true 5 minutes ago is not true anymore, because things have evolved. So in that respect alone, the universe is always changing. God is always changing. We are always changing our higher realms. So it's never, and that's what gives me joy. I just love to try to learn and find answers. So I started writing again about my experiences, mainly with love from the other side. And because I felt maybe I was shown these things so I could write about them. And maybe, you know, people have written books that have influenced me greatly and lifted me greatly. And I don't know if I'm, you know, I'm not going to limit myself and say, oh, well, I don't think I can. I think I can write a nice book that people probably would get something out of, and it would be genuine. So I started doing that again. And here's an interesting coincidence, a sign. I did a show about signs, remember, just recently. When I first moved out to Wilson, where I live now, in 2001, we got married. We got married in, I better know this right, October. I got married in October, and it was like a month after 9/11. And then we had a reception the following summer. We had a reception in 2002 out at our house. And the day of our reception, and we just invited like 100 people, just people we, you know, we're close to and people we knew, and just, and it was people that we felt comfortable with. And the day of the reception, here I'm running around, keep picking up stuff, and I had to run into town, and I get back, and my wife says, you just missed it. I said, what? There was a bear. I said, a bear? She goes, yeah, I looked by this back shed. We got this smaller back shed that we store stuff in. We have two garages. One's bigger, one's a really nice one. The other one's kind of an old, beat-up, smaller one. And then we have this little shed that's like a storage shed. And she said, I saw something back by the end of the property line in the trees, which is probably about, you know, out the kitchen window, maybe 80 yards away, I don't know. And she goes, I thought it was a big dog. And she said, then I looked closer, it's a bear. Now, we hadn't seen a bear out there, and we didn't think they'd come that close because we're pretty close to the railroad tracks. And she goes, I think he's still standing on the railroad tracks. So I decided, I was a little nervous, a little frightened. I walked, because I've never really seen a bear, you know, other than in captivity, my life prior to that. Even though I grew up in the country, you'd think I would have saw something. So I walked out to edge of our property, heading south, the south end of the property. And that's where the old road intersects our property. And I looked on the railroad tracks, and there's this black bear. And he just kind of, he's looking around. He's got one paw on the tracks, and he's got one leg up a little bit. And he's just looking around like he's looking for something. I take it as a sign. And then we haven't seen a bear since, until this summer, when I started working on my book again. And I started writing more in it. And then we found not so much the bear, but we found his excrement, a big pile. I don't know what he had for lunch, but not in just one spot, you know, one spot on the edge of the, by their trees where they intersect our property, which, yeah, I don't care. But then over by the apple tree, we've got some apple trees in the yard, but there's this one old apple tree, and I usually haul leaves, and I go right by it. So I was hauling some grass that I had cut, and I looked down, and here was a big pile again. And I believe it's connected to me and maybe my wife. But for me, I know that the bear is part of my animal totem. I learned that years ago with my friend Dwayne. And I've been dreaming about bears my whole life, chasing me. And bears, Dwayne explained it to me this way, which made a lot of sense. It didn't make sense at the time, but now it does. It's funny how years later, if you just remember those things or write them down, but I'm good at remembering, they make sense. So he said to me that the bear, and I think Animal Speak talks about this as well, the book Animal Speak. He said the bear takes things in. You know, think about it. A bear is a physical, when it's a physical being, it'll take in all this food, and then it'll go in its den and hibernate, and it won't come out till the winter's over. And he said, in the same way, in the spirit world, he said, you take in this information, you go within, and you dwell on it, and then you bring it out to share with others. And that's what I'm doing when I'm writing this book. So is it a coincidence that after 15 years, you know, we haven't seen any signs? I'm out in my yard a lot. Any signs of bear? And now, is he trying to tell me something? And I believe he is. He's telling me, you better finish that book. You better get moving on that. Or, we're glad that you're doing that. It's really what they're saying. You're on the right path. You know, sometimes an eagle will show up, and that's confirmation. A lot of times it's confirmation. Sometimes it means something else, but there's a lot of wonderful signs out where I live. So that's what I wanted to talk about in this show, really. It was more than anything was what changes may be coming. And I'm guessing many of you, like me, are seeing things come forward. We're getting pushed. And things are coming forward to get us to release them. And so there may be someone in your life that is pissing you off. And there's a reason for that. You know, there was a woman that was, I don't really want to get into this, but somebody that's very close to me was getting harassed. And I was angry, very angry, because I wanted to, you know, what am I going to do? I don't know, but I was very upset. And then, like, right after that, somebody crashed into our yard. Not bad, but they really dug it up pretty good. Some pretty big trenches. Like they, you know, I have like a little ditch when you come off the old road, the dirt road. And if you're not careful, you could go right down in. And then you could get hung up, I guess. And then you might have to rock back and forth. It doesn't even look like that happened. It looks like they just dug up our yard, like somebody went four-wheeling in our yard. And I was angry again. And normally I'm not like that, but it made me realize, oh, these are things that are deep inside me that have to be released. And we all have it. I think we all do. So if some of you feel like you're being challenged right now, that's what that's all about. We can't move forward into this next phase, I truly believe. Or we can't grow, at least. We can't grow as beings. You can't let more love in until you let the darkness out, till you let those other things out. You want to have more love? Then you got to let things out. You got to let them go. And I think many people, let me know, I think many people are feeling this right now, being pinched. And several people I work with, I know the same way, or people I just know are going through this. And it's to challenge us to change. That's what I see it as. Maybe I'm wrong. Share your opinion. I'd love to hear it. Put me in my place, if that's what you feel the need to do. Send me an email if you want. If you'd like to be on, I'd love to have you. If you want to share stories about anything, I'd like to have you. I'm sure you've got things to tell me. You got an opinion on something? As long as it's not filled with hatred, negativity, bashing other people, bashing other things, beliefs, you're welcome to come on. Everybody's got a story, don't they? I think everybody does. I'm always fascinated How else would I learn if I didn't listen to the stories? Thank you for listening. Thank you very much. Have a blessed, joyful, wonderful, peaceful, don't get angry with your neighbor running in your yard, vehicle, or a tree branch fell down too. I didn't even mention that. Right after this guy runs in the yard, I'm looking, there's a wind that comes up, you know, not right after because it happened overnight, but and I'm talking to my wife, and then while we're talking, this wind comes up and blows down this big dead branch off this tree I got. And I thought, huh. And my wife said to me, guess it's not our day, is it? And I thought, the universe is saying to me, maybe not for her, I don't know, but let it go. Let it go. Things have got to change. And I, if I truly, you know, here I think I'm at peace with so much, but all of us, you know, if something bothers you, then there's a reason. There's a reason. And it's you as much as it is the issue. It's you as much as it is whatever issue you're going through. It's trying to show you that you need to make peace with something. In my case, anger, which I thought I'm not that type of person, you know, anymore. When I was younger, I might get angry more often, quicker. Now I rarely do. Maybe I just keep things in. But, you know, somebody messing with my yard, somebody messing with somebody I care about. And it wasn't deliberate, the one with my yard. But it just, I kept thinking to myself, come in my yard again and I'm going to get a shotgun. I even called the police, the sheriffs, and asked them, what should I do about this? I don't know if this is an accident or if somebody's messing with me. And they said, well, just file a report, I guess. That's about all you can do. You know, generally, I wouldn't even, you know, things have happened in the past. I just kind of look the other way and let it go. Now it seems like things bother me. And it's because I think if it's happening to you too, things are bothering. It's because we need to clear and release them. That's what I believe. That's why they happen. And if I don't, animals show up. They show up, kind of like saying, okay, now you got to let go of that? All right. It's funny how that is. It's all connected. Thank you. And let me know if you have any thoughts. Take care. Blessings.